to cure diseases, you know. And then it said that Jesus sent them out. After they got that authority, he sent them out to preach and to teach. He sent first the 12 disciples, he sent them out. And then he sent the 70, he sent them out. And he told them that they had power to cure the sick, to heal, to deliver, to set free. They had all of this power, saints. And this power is still belongs to us. We still have power to cast out devils and demons. We still have power to cure sicknesses and diseases. The gifts of God is without repentance. And he's not going to take it back. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. We are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. There's plenty of people that heart is broken nowadays, saints. They're broken. They're so broken they can't hardly lift their head up. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we have people that's blind and they're not, that their eyes, their natural eyes can see, but they're blinded spiritually. And these are the people that God has anointed us. Not only just the people that can't see physically, but the people that can't see spiritually. God has given us the opportunity to heal these people. And we're going to be continuing our teaching on the anointing, the power, and the supernatural abilities that God has given us. We will show you how people of the Bible use supernatural power. We look at Samson. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. We will pick up where we left off, if the Lord's will, in the next lessons. And I want you to keep in mind the power and the ability that God has given us. Amen and amen. I'm Wanda Bell. And you have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast. Our address is Post Office Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, Post Office Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Psalm 51 verse 10, very familiar verse of scriptures. Most all believers are familiar with it. And it simply says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This word, my brothers and sisters, is such a powerful word. It is a word very much so known of the church as a repentant prayer and a desire by King David to get his heart, his life, and his house in order and right with God. It is an experience of epic proportions as relates to this anointed man of God, one whom the Lord had highly favored, one whom the Lord had anointed to be king, one whom the Lord had placed on the throne, and one who loved the Lord with such a strength and a desire and a drive that it touched the heart of God, for he was known as a man after God's own heart. King David here is requesting that God would create in him a clean heart. Now, those of you who know the story will know that it goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And this is the story again of him and Bathsheba, him committing adultery, and then later having Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed on the front line, and them taking again up with that folly, and he marries her, and they have the baby, and the baby is sick, and they entreat God to save the baby, but God refuses, and the baby dies. And then later, God blesses them with Solomon, who is or was the wisest man that ever walked planet Earth, save Jesus Christ. And so this is a man that after his supreme mess up, after his dark-heartedness, still desired to get his life right with God. What David did, strikingly so, was no big thing for most kings. But the difference was, David wasn't most kings. He was God's chosen king. God's hand was upon him. His anointing was upon him. His favor was upon him. And David knew that it was God who had appointed him. This kind of thing went on in kingdom powers all the time. And never did they repent. Never did they feel evil or ill about what they had done, because their hearts were filled with darkness. But David was one who truly loved God. Verses 1 through 9, he tells us that he is pleading and he's petitioning and he's crying out to God that things might be different. He asks him for mercy. He tells him to forgive him of his uncleanness. He makes clear that he wants to be washed and cleansed and purged, and his transgressions blotted out and his iniquities blotted out. But what is amazing about this, as David walks through these verses, constantly making us aware of the fact that every human attempt to get right with God is falling short. You see, when you get close to God, God raises your level of expectation of righteousness to a higher level. You can't do everything everybody else does when you say you belong to the Lord. The closer you are to God, the more he makes you feel and holds you responsible for the highest level of holiness and purity. And so David knew this. He felt this. And every time he talked about wash me, cleanse me, purge me, all of these things, it seemed to be doing a little bit better, but somehow this issue of his sin was still overtaking him. And my brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, if you truly belong to God and you're as high as David was, and fell as low as he fell, you just can't get up with a one, forgive me, Lord, and go about your business. It begins to bother you deep down underneath the skin. Every morning when he got up and looked in the mirror, he saw his sin. Every time he sat down to eat his food, he saw his sin. Every time he looked out in the beautiful sun and saw God's creation, he saw his sin. Every time he looked around his kingdom and saw how blessed he was, he saw his sin. His sin was ever before him. And yet he tried all he could to get himself together. And finally, listen at this. After all of the washing and the scrubbing that he tried, it wasn't good enough. How many of you know you can wash some stuff and it still isn't clean? Y'all act like y'all don't believe that. I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating again. Got a great friend of mine, and he has some towels that he, you know, he does things with, wash cars and do, and he washes those towels and bleaches them, and he had some white towels, and one day we were riding somewhere, and I was dressed in my church clothes, my finery, and I didn't want to waste no grease, so he said, wait, let me grab a towel for you, put over your clothes, so you don't waste no grease on yourself. So I said, all right. So he reached me this white towel with stains galore. And I said to him, what is this? He said, this is my towel. This is my clean towel. I just washed them. I said, you just washed them? He said, yeah, this is clean. Smell it. Now, I'm not going to kid you. I could smell that the towel was clean, but the stains were still in the towel. Just because you wash some things, don't make them clean. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. David tried to wash his conscience from the works that he had done, but his heart and his soul was still stained. And every day of his life, he was reminded, even after having washed himself and purged himself, that he still had a stained soul. And so he gets this revelation. Look at what he says in verse 10. Create in me. Now we're going to a whole nother level. Not wash, not cleanse, not purge, not blot out, but create. From the same word, Hebrew word, we get bara, bara. It's the same word found in Genesis chapter 1, where it says God created. Now let me take you back here, because what David was saying is, I've tried everything I could to get right with you, and the stain is still there. The only way I can get rid of the stain is if you create in me a clean heart. Now listen at this. I want you to see this. If we were reading this grammatically, it would sound like this. Create in me a clean heart, comma. David is thinking about all the stuff he's done, so he's asking God to do this. He says, oh God, semicolon. And then he says, listen, because I'm not through with me and you're not through with me yet. And renew a right spirit within me, period. Y'all missed it. And renew a right spirit within me, period. See, I can't do what I'm asking you to do, so I need you to do it for me in order for it to be done right. So let's go back again, because he says create. Now think about in the beginning, everything was dark and void and without shape and form, and that's how David's heart had become. So much so that he allowed his sin to progress to the point where the darkness of his heart had caused him to fall to the lowest ebb of life as the king of Israel. And the only way that he could get right back with God is if God stepped in the situation and do what he did in the beginning, took the blackness, the void, the emptiness, and made it what he wanted it to be. And the Bible says, and whatever God said it was good. David recognized, I could never be good enough again unless God make me over. Listen at me well. Listen. See, there comes a point in time when you've done too much. That comes a time when you've fallen too low. That comes a time when the enemy has hoodwinked you and brought you all the way out of your safety zone and has exposed you for the weakness and all of the corruption that lies within. He goes back in his own memory and he tells God, listen, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. I need you to go back further than that and create in me a clean heart. A heart so clean that you would be the only one who could make it that way. A clean heart. He was really telling him, can I tell you what he was saying to him? I need this. I've washed it and I've done everything, but I need you to clean it and disinfect it. Because obviously it looked clean to me, but obviously there were still some germs and all the rest of that, because it kept bothering me. That meant something wasn't clean. And it wasn't disinfected. And then he cries out, oh God. Listen, there's a time when you can tell everybody you want to tell. But until you humble yourself and tell God all about it, the one who can truly do something about it, it does not work. You can go around him, but you can't get your heart straight without him. You can try and call all of the holy people you think you know. Be on every prayer line and every prayer partner praying for you. But you're going to have to learn how to confess your sins. And you're going to have to learn to confess them to him. For he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you know how to truly go to him. And I'm trying to help us to understand, my brothers and sisters, none of us are perfect and all of us are going to have problems. So I need you to understand three things about this word. First of all, this was a prophetic word. It was a prophetic word because he had already, verses 1-9, looked over his past and dealt with his past, but he was standing in his present and speaking into his future. Create in me. Notice what he didn't say. Create in Bathsheba. He didn't say, create in those other people or Uriah or whomever. He took responsibility for himself and said, create in me. Why? Because if God doesn't create in you the right heart, the clean heart, you can never have the right relationship with God. He wanted what he had with God, and he wanted it in such a way that only God could restore him there. Create in me a clean clean, clean heart. Not only was it a prophetic word, but it was a positive word. He spoke what he wanted from the Lord. He didn't bring up in verse 10 again his past. He started speaking about what he wanted in his future. It was a positive word. Let me say this because I need us to know too. Sometimes when we get to the point where we want to repent and get it right with God, we stay hooked up on the past so long we forget that God still has a future for us. We might have messed up. We might have missed it. We might have fallen short. We might have done the most damnable thing that we can do, and God is displeased with it, but I got news for you. He knew you were going to do it before he ever created you, and he still created you, and he still blessed you and called you and purposed you. So you get yourself together and recognize it was only an attack from the enemy to keep you from the destiny God designed for you. There is no perfect people walking on God's green earth that have never sinned or are not sinning or will never sin. So that means the word is true. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And so you got to get yourself together and recognize, after you have repented and called forth all of those things that have caused you to fall, then you leave your past in the past. Because I got news for you. The devil does not want you to see your future, nor have the future that God's planned for you. So this was a positive word. Now, this word is for somebody, again, like I said, maybe you haven't fallen yet, but keep living. Maybe you've not messed up yet, but keep living. Maybe you've not done anything wrong yet, but keep living. Because the truth of the matter is, the enemy is not going to leave you alone. And listen at this, as long as you're walking in the Spirit, you're all right. But the Bible is clear that men don't always walk in the Spirit. The moment you let your guards down, guess who's right there? Paul said, every time I attempt to do good, evil is right there looking over my shoulder. Always present. So just know, you've got to begin to speak positive things into your future. You still are what God says you are. You still can do what God says you can do. You still have what God says you can have. See, it's what you think in your mind. The Bible says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I may have fallen, but it don't mean I've got to stay down. The prodigal son is one of the most picturesque examples of God's love for his children. And how clear is that when the prodigal son said, in the pig's pen, I will arise. That means he's getting out of the mess he's in. And go to my father and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he just kept speaking it. He kept speaking it. The Bible says all the way on the way home, he just kept speaking it. What was he doing? He was prophetically speaking a positive reality. And when he got home, you know the story. His father received him and blessed him even greater than he thought he would. So learn how to speak positive about your future, even if you've had some hard knocks, some falls, some mistakes, some mess ups. Even if you've been everything but a child of God, there's still hope for you. And then the third thing about this word I want to tell you is it's a perfecting word. Not only is it a prophetic word, and not only is it a positive word, but it is a perfecting word. How is it a perfecting word, preacher? Because in the end he says, and renew a right spirit within me. Now this word renew means make it like it was before. Renew means make it like it was when it was brand new. Renew means make new again. And listen at this now. He says, and renew, and because he says, listen, a clean heart ought to have a right spirit. If you don't have a clean heart, you will not have a right spirit. And listen at this. This word spirit comes from the Hebrew word ruach, which means breath or wind. He's trying to say, I can't have good breath unless I have a clean heart. Y'all catch that on your way home. I need a breath of fresh air, and I need it because I've got a clean heart inside of me now. And that means my spirit, as it moves, as it flows, is now renewed like it was in the beginning. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if you can remember the joy of the Lord when you really had joy, before all of the sin and the falls and all the unforgiveness and all of the other things we packed on top and had not gone to God for a cleansing and renewal of our lives, and all sin diminishes our joy. And David says it's a perfecting word because with a right heart and a right spirit, you've got a right life to live. In other words, it's a life that allows you now with the right resources to live right. And that's a daily experience. You don't wake up one day and you're totally perfect. Have I got a witness in the house? What happens is with a right heart, clean heart, and a right spirit within you, what is true is God begins to prune you and cut off all the bad stuff off of you. And God begins to show you that there are some things that's in you that don't belong in you, some things on you that don't need to be hanging on you, some things with you that need to be separated from you. And he does it day by day. And as you keep walking, just like the lepers, when they said they wanted to be cleansed, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. It didn't happen automatically in the natural, even though in the spirit it did. But every step they took, things started getting better. Every step they took, things started getting brighter. Every step they took, heaven had started getting lighter. And when they got to the priests, they were totally healed in the flesh. But what I'm trying to tell you is it's a perfecting work. So don't get upset when he doesn't fix you in one day. Just say, I feel him working on me.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard.